up. Look, everybody, it's Julie. Just in time, under the wire. Let's go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. You know, most places, this is very well known, it's very well documented, it's in the Bible and we've seen it. Most places where you go and somebody's going to share the Bible is not actually preached. Jesus does not actually attend, for he's taken his lampstand and headed elsewhere. And the truth is not proclaimed. But the people who are there have no idea that those are the facts. And they continue along with what is a religious life that ultimately proves in every biblical way to be hollow. If you would but open the Bible and you would see, wow, that's not my life. Wow, that is my life, and that's a bad thing. Yeah, yeah. And you would see that your life is absolutely hollow spiritually, despite the pretty facade, face, and stained glass window of the place you attend. That is how it is. You know, I ran into a professional woman this week, a nurse, no less, and I gave her a CD. And the circumstances were such that I was going to see her 1 week later. I said, listen to this CD, hold on tight and buckle up, and I'll see you in a week. So I come back and I see her in a week, and apologetically she said, I go to First Baptist of Orlando, you know, because she knew that what I taught had never been taught there, ever, nor would ever be taught. However, she loved her hollow life. When I saw her the first week, she said, wow, I cannot believe the kids are so big. And I said, you know, they're only several million years old. For her, it's true, and in the world, and for religious people, time is flying. And she confessed it as the world freely does without realizing that they're convicting themselves that they have no relationship with God or Christ. And that the Bible would show that if they would but listen. And then she said other religious things like, oh, I love my pastor. I go, do you pay him? Oh, yeah, but he's great. After I gave her the CD and came back a week later and saw that she was still, though realizing it, convicted, I go to First Baptist of Orlando. Almost apologetic before a disciple of Jesus, as she ought to be. I said, you know, there's so much more. I go, there's a family that used to be dead in that place like you are now. You ought to come talk to them. She was scared of them just at the mention of their existence. It was Rough Tough Dave Foster. And Tanya, I mean, if anyone's going to love you, it's those two, huh? And then you know what I did? I do what I always do with a woman. I say, you know what? Did your husband listen to the CD? Let's see if I can get to the head of this situation. And of course the response was the typical, oh, I'm divorced. And I know that's not right and all. Anyway, happens all the time in my conversations. You run me into a religious person and they will be immediately revealed as hollow, as not having what they claim to have. On the outside looking good, but you punch through and it's like, whoa, that was an easy punch and I can see right through the middle of you. Happens all the time. But here, it's different here, isn't it? For those of us who've been sifted and tested and dealt with by a Jesus who set his lampstand here and does what he says he will do and the word gets preached, it is different here. Because we do not walk around unaware of where we are spiritually. For we know, well, I am in trouble. I am in sin. Boy, I've been built up. God is with me. Whoa, God is opposing me. We know where we are here. Our title today is Solid or Hollow. But I want you to know It's a question mark at the end, okay? Solid or hollow? You get to answer that for you today. But I want you to know that I am not talking to the religious people like the woman I mentioned, because they are all hollow. And the temptation that Satan will put on you is for you to think that I'm talking about her. I'm not talking about her. For there are many disciples, 20 of them in this ministry, and many of the 20 have great patches of hollowness in their spiritual life. For many, they're completely hollow, other than a very slight veneer they got at the waters. And they have not been built up, and you're going to be proclaimed today. And I'm doing this for you so you can say, well, boy, oh boy, that is awesome. That explains a lot, and I can go from there. I'm not doing this so you can say, yeah, those First Baptist people are hollow. We already know that. But many of us are hollow in ways that we don't know or acknowledge, because we will shove off a message like today and think that it's for First Baptists and First Lukes and Second Reformed Lutheran and all those other silly places that are obviously vacuous. We don't need to go to Mars. We just need to go to that place and get, what, flightless experiments. I mean, that place is a vacuum. Nothing happening there. Where are we? Mark 14. All right, Mark 14. Jesus has finally gotten to the point where he is in trouble and the wheels are in motion, and it's not going to stop short of him being crucified. And all of a sudden, what he'd been saying all along got him in real trouble. Mark 14, verse 49. Jesus says, every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Jesus points out a great weirdness. This is the book of Mark. He's been preaching since Mark 1. And for 3 years he's been preaching in the temple courts, in the public, out in the open, and never got arrested. And now all of a sudden, oh, you can't take it anymore. Now all of a sudden it's not okay. What's up? What's up? Bear with me here. I'm gonna hold your hand all day here, so don't worry. This is what's up. End of verse 49. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. The scriptures must be fulfilled. You will often wonder, what is going wrong? What is happening? And the answer will always be, the scriptures must be fulfilled. And we may deceive ourselves and deceive others and think that we can get away with certain things. But rest assured, the time will come when you will have to acknowledge, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. What in the world am I talking about? You have secret little sins and secret little pettinesses and secret little concerns and secret little wants that have nothing to do with the Bible. And you persist in those, continue in those, you don't confess them, you don't acknowledge them, you don't repent of them. And it appears for a time, perhaps, you're getting away with it. And then all of a sudden, boom! Man, I got a problem with David Arrest. Really? Why? Well, I don't know. You know, he's been annoying me for a while. I got a problem with my wife. It's like, whoa. What's happening? What's happening? You thought you could disobey the Bible, do things that aren't in the Bible, fail to do things that God is calling you to do that are in the Bible, and march on your merry way because John D'Aquila never noticed. The scriptures will be fulfilled. You will reap what you sow. Okay? If you're really Jesus' disciples, you will hold to his teachings, and that will be revealed. You will be sifted by Satan. You will be tested by God. All those things have to happen or Jesus is a fool. Those things happen. And when weird things go on, that's what's going on. Nothing has changed other than the fact that God has gone ahead and registered judgment and is making the scriptures come to life. It's like all these scary movies you see, like Signs. The kids always want to see, can we watch Signs? You know, and it's like, you know, Mel Gibson says, it's happening. And it's like, whoa, what's happening? The aliens are invading. I don't know. It's happening. It's like, this is weird. What is in the crops? I don't know. What's that noise? Who are these people? Who's out there? It's happening. It's like that. Hey, you can relate. It's like Poltergeist, for those of you who are old. Remember? They're back. It's like, what? What's back? All of a sudden, weird stuff is sucking out of the house, and a weird little old lady standing there with a funny voice, and weird things are going on. It's happening. They're back. What's up? The Bible is like that. The Bible is like that and will always be like that. And I want you to know that when it happens, you get to find out, am I solid on the scriptures or am I hollow? Because if there is hollowness in your life, it will be revealed at times like these. See, Jesus didn't get nervous and say, oh, no, this is not right. Oh, I've changed my mind. Oh, well, you know, he said, look, it's a little weird, folks. I've been preaching forever, it seems, freely, every day, publicly, out in the open. I'm not hard to find. Crowds seem to find me regularly. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And that's going to happen to each of us. See, one thing I realized early, I realized before I was even a disciple of Jesus, I was studying the Bible, but I knew. I said, I have got to be voluntarily honest with everything at all times. I mean, I have my spiritual notes. Before I'm a disciple, I'm like, I have got to talk about this and everything else based on convictions from the scriptures. It's like, I have got to talk about this. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is I got to get in the light about it. I've got to be honest with it. But I think most of us have an attitude to avoid getting into all that sin that you need to confess, temptation you need to confess, as long as it's really not pressing that you get into it. And I'm like, and which scriptures are you standing on? Well, I don't know, actually. I've moved out of the Bible here, and now the test is going to come, and you're going to go down. But most people, see, I've known from the beginning that if I'm struggling with thoughts, attitudes, if I have a dream, I get it in the light. And I think most people take a pass on that and see what they can get away with, and they do badly when the test comes. And they find themselves hollow. That's just how it is. Isaiah chapter 7. So anyway, when the scriptures are being fulfilled, you're going to find out whether you're really solid or partially or fully hollow. And you're not going to find out until then. And sometimes, you know, hey, Bible says what? God is slow to anger. God's kind of like, oh, come on, Doug. And it's like, come on, Doug. And it's like, Doug! God over here. Goodbye, Doug. Bong! Where's Doug? I don't know. So, I'm just appealing to you. Volunteer stuff. Hey, I just got to talk about this. Do the Foster method. Foster had a great analogy last week for Michael. He goes, Michael, a leaf blew by me spiritually compared to what's going on with Michael. A leaf blew by and I had to talk about it. I highly recommend that. Because those scriptures are going to come dance on your head and you won't be ready. We're going to do half a verse in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9.5. This is God talking. We got to go slow today. Half a verse at a time. It's pretty good, though. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Period, quote, quote. That's what God has to say. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand firm at all. You know, as we just read, you know, the scriptures will be fulfilled. In the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 3, Paul writes that, hey, let God be true and every man a liar. You know, the Bible's going to happen to all of us, and if you don't want it, amen, all men can be liars, God will be true. God's going to get the Bible lived. And here we see that if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Every trouble you have standing, enduring, persevering, comes back to standing firm in your faith. I'm going to help you out with this because most people don't understand it at all. And I usually don't preach about faith because it's like I can't say, you know, repent, get some faith. It's not like that, but I'm going to help you out with what it is. But as Paul also wrote to Rome, and he said, hey, anything that doesn't come from faith is sin. This is just true. If you do not stand firm in your faith, see, I love that. Many brothers will try this. I'm hard on the brothers now because it's like, look, we got 12 brothers. Jesus won the world with those boys. We got enough brothers to do the same if we could actually live the Bible. And he says, stand firm in your faith. Some will say, oh, you know, I really don't have the faith to do that, brother. Great. Amen. That's great. Why don't you stand firm in the faith that you have, which would be your faith? What? Yeah, that would call you to account to what you actually believe, what you're convicted of, and then living it. I'm not calling you to stand firm in my faith. I don't ever call anyone to do that, nor will I ever. I'm calling you to stand firm in your faith. What do you actually believe? What are you convicted of in the scriptures? Do that. Live that. Make that happen. I've lost a lot of faith. What do we have left? Do you believe the Bible's true? Then I know hearts. I got the worst heart in history. My heart, if I'm struggling, I want to say I don't believe the Bible, and then I can, woof, I'm off the hook. Yeah, amen. You know, you got a bad heart. I got a really bad heart. Don't ask me questions like that. Because I'll say wrong answers so I can get off the hook. I've been there. Relatives are dying. They know that. Yeah. Hey, we've been there. Yeah, we hate to do this too. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. I want to give you some examples. Because many of us, and I think this pervades the entire ministry. It doesn't pervade me, so I'm going to preach about it. There are alternatives to standing in your faith and doing things because you're convicted about them from the scriptures. There are alternatives. And most of us are living some of those alternative platforms to stand on. And you're not going to stand at all because of it. I just want you to know. I'll give you an example. A lot of people live in accordance with their frustration level. You know, it's like, phew, well, that's a real hassle and really frustrating, so I'm not going to do it. And you expect to stand at all in light of this half a verse? You with me? It's like, you know, I could get after so-and-so about this, or I could point that out, or I could confront, you know, my old creditor who I owe $274, but they'll just yell at me and stuff, and they won't be happy and all that stuff, so I'm just not going to get into it. I'm like, how in the world does that slip into your life as a basis for doing or not doing anything? How does that happen? It is the yeast of the Pharisees. It is the yeast of your own thinking. It's like frustration is, you know, I got some faith in there and some frustration. I mix it in a bowl, and whatever comes out of the mix, that's what I live. We'll get to some examples in a minute. And you will not stand at all, the Bible says. You know, some people are moved by guilt. Some people do things because of guilt. They bring food because of guilt. They preach because of guilt. They come, get with the ministry because of guilt. And I'm like, please, you're not going to stand at all. It's not like, oh, you're going to struggle. It's going to be hard. No. God says you will not stand at all. Does that explain your life? If I would let it, it would. Motivated by guilt. Some people are motivated by pride. I want people to think I'm doing good. All right, this will end real badly. Stand by. I'm good. You're not good. Some people are motivated by pressure. You know, other people will pressure you and you'll feel pressure. Okay, I got to preach. I got to teach. I got to be salty. I got to be this because, you know, there's a lot of pressure in the ministry to be like this. And I'm like, where's that pressure coming from? Help me out. Where's that pressure coming from? Oh, from you. Yeah. That little pressure cooker is right there inside of you. I am supposed to live and call you to live and stand in my faith, your faith. Okay? How is it that someone else can pressure you to act a certain way when your faith has not commanded it, dictated it, or asked for it? You will be proven to be hollow. I'm just trying to spare you. That's all. You will be proven to be hollow. And God will come up, and it won't take much to test you. I mean, he doesn't bring lava on you. Just take a little pinprick. Pop! You hear that? Hollowness. Just like a balloon. You go up to someone's silo and poke a pin in it, and you'll be lucky to get the pin back. Why? Can't get it back out of there. Right. There's something in there. I mean, I love that so much. I hope that it can set many of us free. That I'm going to live in accordance with the faith I have. And Romans 14 says that if I don't do so, it is sin. And that I have to have convictions from the Bible and live according to those convictions, and that's it. If you're convicted to preach because of what the Scriptures say, preach. If there's some other reason that you're convicted to preach, please don't preach. Because it's sin, and you won't stand at all. There are many examples that pervade this. I'll take one of the classics. Email. I love to be able to preach the Bible and know that I'm not going to get messed with. Oh yeah, people don't like it. Email. This is awesome. You just take a time out here. It's a half a verse. We can't go too fast. Email. Now don't mess with me because 1 Corinthians 7 tells me that I can use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For instance, if I'm like on the internet, you know, looking like a buffoon, checking my email 19 times a day, I'm probably engrossed in it. And I don't have authority to do that. But the Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 7, and this is why you can't mess with the Bible and you can't mess with me on this, is because email is useful. These are my choices. I could call each and every one of you, or I could send everyone an email and you can respond. We've even had people who are no longer part of the ministry say, oh, don't email me, that's too much of a hassle for me, just call me. Yeah, let me redo my schedule for you, brother, and I'll put in some spots in there for, like, calling you, because you can't get off your duff to check your mail. Yeah, and I'm sure that'll go over well in heaven, and I'm sure your conviction to ask me to do that isn't in the Bible, and I'm sure you're not standing at all, and of course, all the people who said that are out of the ministry. We didn't kick them out of the ministry. God just sucked them out. They didn't stand at all, and they got carted off with the carnage. It is a great sadness, but that's what happens. And you would think it's like no big deal. What's the big deal? we'll get to that in a minute. But I know, this is so awesome. I don't know how to say this, but I'll try. I know that Michael has, for many of us, poisoned email. And before Michael, Joe did. I mean, Joe would send these emails that were like, what do you say, Aurelius, a billion words? He's still trying to get through one of them. A billion words, and I'm like, you know, if I sat at the computer all day, every day, and just hit a bunch of keys, I couldn't generate that volume. And it's like, and after you get done reading it, for those who endured, and I did, you go, whew, that's a bunch of hooey. I mean, that didn't say anything. Same thing with Michael. Michael will email you all day, every day, several times a day, and it never makes any sense, but I'll always read it because I love my brother, and I'm hopeful that one day my brother will get it, though I know many of you have quit on him. Oh, Michael, delete. And your conviction on that was what there? See, I live my convictions. And he can send me a book. He can send me War and Peace, and I'll read it. Most of you delete at the title. And you're out of the scriptures. And your time of standing and your days of standing are numbered. Because you had better get a conviction about it. You may want to share that, but I believe that you're motivated by frustration. I believe you're motivated by something other than the scriptures in doing that. But then this is what happens. You just write it off. I mean, Jamie was like, you know, a fighter and a scrapper and doing this and doing that, and everything has been run off of email. I mean, he's overwhelmed. Now he's going to have to repent, because what will happen? John DeQuilla sends out an email saying, look, I'm handling the food. We're going camping. This is what I need. Did everyone respond? Many of us, I think, would have to say, oh, John DeQuilla said something? Oh, I didn't get that. Oh, I didn't check it. I'm sorry. And the conviction you had from the scriptures on that was what? Oh, I was just tired. Oh, I haven't read that one. Well, I was just, you know, it's just too much. Oh, I haven't read that either. Your days of standing are numbered, and you're going down, and you're going down for those reasons. What pathetic reasons to go down? People do not go down in the kingdom because of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. We've often preached it. They go down because of little things that they will not repent of, because of darkness and bitterness that eventually come as a result. Anyway, being on time, being prompt. Do you have a conviction that allows you just to show up whenever, always late? I'd like you to share that conviction with me. Well, it doesn't come from conviction, it comes from circumstances. Right, your standing days are numbered. Now, I could sit here and pretend like it's no big deal, but it is a big deal to God, as we're going to see in a minute. You know, with Michael poisoning email, see, I love that because it's a test for us. You know, the Catholics are going to, I guess tonight or tomorrow morning or both, going to have something they call communion, which isn't in the Bible, but something that looks kind of like the Lord's Supper. Okay? They're going to do something like it. Now, we could, like Peter warned about, say, man, we're not even going to do the Lord's Supper because the Catholics do it, and we don't want to have any association with such falsehood. And that's why Peter wrote about it, that, yeah, there are false teachers who bring the way of truth into disrepute and give it a bad reputation and make you not want to do the truth too. There are places that preach, we're not preaching because they're false and we don't want to be associated. There are places that get together, we're not getting together anymore because we don't want to be associated. Look, Michael can poison email all he wants. Joe can come back from the spiritual dead just to poison us with email. But he's not going to get me off the scriptures. And it is useful, and I love my brother, and I'm going to bear with him. Where are you at? Well, I'm worn out by frustration, I'm worn out by circumstances, and I just don't want to do it anymore. And so when John DeQuilla sends an email that you need to respond to so he can serve in the way he's been moved to serve, he can't quite do it because you don't get back to him. Same with me. I send something out. I don't hear from people. I don't know. Well, I didn't even know you said that, brother. Well, I'm sure you don't, because you don't have convictions. Your days of standing are numbered. You're proven to be hollow. And it'll be for dumb reasons, right, Elle? It'll be like, these are dumb reasons to go down. Hey, Elle and I have been through the trenches. We could go down for some doozies. Not this. But most of you are getting kicked in the teeth and going down and not ultimately going to make it because of dumb, petty stuff. The very dumb, petty stuff we read about in the Bible that killed those people too. But the big thing about it is it proves you to be hollow because you don't do what you have conviction to do, and a lot of what you do doesn't come from conviction, and you cannot stand. You just can't do it. I could go on and on about that. But I got to hold your hand now. Leviticus chapter 5. You're not alone here. Hang in there with me. Don't run off now. Leviticus 5. Don't go to Leviticus 8 or something. We could believe that these things are no big deal to God. And yet the Scriptures, Old Testament and New, say they are paramount. Anything that doesn't come from faith is sin. Live in your faith or you will not stand. These are not petty. In Leviticus chapter 5, people are being, you ever see a car fire? Pretty intense, right? You're always like, whoa, that thing could blow at any moment. I mean, how is that thing on fire and the gas tank is not exploded? Anyway, I'm out of here. It just always seems like such a scary situation. But if you've seen a car, like, after the car fire has run its course, and it's like a hollowed out shell, it's like, whoa, man, this thing has been gutted. And why? Leviticus 5. Where does this hollowness come from? Check this out. Bear with me. I'm not going to abandon you here. Leviticus 5 verse 2. Or if a person touches anything ceremonially unclean, whether the carcasses of unclean wild animals or of unclean livestock or of unclean creatures that move along the ground, even though he is unaware of it, he has become unclean and is guilty. Wait a minute. I'm barely alive here, brother. One verse of Leviticus. All right, hang in. I'm going to try to revive you. The kick in the pants is, even though he is unaware of it, he has become unclean and is guilty. Well, that's not fair. Read the Bible and get aware. When the Scriptures are happening to you, it's obvious the Scriptures are happening to you. Then the question is, what is it that I am unaware of, that I've been in or been doing, that has resulted in the Scriptures happening to me? That's the question. Isaiah, my son, could happen today, be careful. He'll be foraging around and they'll bring a rock, maybe I'll bring a bone of something. And say it's like a, I don't know, a rotten bone of a pig or something. But it just looks like a bone, I don't know, chicken, picnic, I don't know. That's nice, they. And he gives it to me for safekeeping. And I put it in my pocket. And then I give everyone a hug as you go bye-bye. And we're all unclean. What's up, my fault? Isaiah picks up junk from the ground. And then I'm showing a little love to his dad, giving him a hug. You're all guilty. We are all unclean. Well, I don't know that, though. Doesn't matter. The way you you find out is you get to see the scriptures be fulfilled, and you get to see the Bible happen to you, and it's the way God lets you know you've got a problem, right? Romans chapter 1, Leviticus 5, same thing. It's like God is not letting you go. What is wrong? Your son picked up a bone, put it in your hand, you put it in your pocket, you hugged everybody. The entire ministry is in sin. And God is not going to change the Bible because I'm clueless. And many of us are pushing God's hand. Change that Bible, God. Change that Bible, God. Change that Bible, God, or I'm quitting. Quit. Let God be true and every man a liar. You are a hollowed out shell on the side of the road in every way, and you don't have the humility to admit it, and God's not changing the Bible for that act. That's your choice. Figure out what in the world God is trying to show you, or go away. You'll either be solid and built up by God, who's like, hey, this guy actually wants to know what the deal was, and this guy just wants to whine and complain about how heaven orchestrates the gig. And God will build this person up to where they are solid. And this person will flake out, flame out, burn out, and probably just hang around and, you know, be a total disaster. Either way. But the thing I want you to see is the way we know we're in trouble is not because we're so smart. The way we know we're in trouble is not because we know the Bible better than anybody else. The way we know we're in trouble is what Jesus said in Mark 14. We read it. The scriptures must be fulfilled, and they are happening to me, and I don't know why. So I need to get honest about, hey, I'm cranky today. Hey, I want to jump in that car and go to a hotel with whoever's in it. I want to start kickboxing these people. I'm looking at Jamie. Those are his thoughts, I think. Yeah. I don't know. You got to get open about your own stuff. I mean, that's not a temptation for me, but Jamie looks poised. But that's how we find out where we are. But we are so tight-knit. Well, when I get this figured out, I'll share it with you. Why don't you just share the scriptures that are happening to you and will help you try to find out the fact that a bone from the playground got in a son's hand to a dad's hand, hugged you at 10 p.m. and sent you home, and that was the problem. Wouldn't that be easier? Imagine trying to get to the point where you could figure that out. That's a lot of thinking. I'll tell you, I don't have much to give. I'd be done quickly if I had to try to figure that out. God will point it out. Now, we know that this is how the law was. And Zay can give me a bone and it'll be okay, but there are other things we're going to talk about that aren't okay. Verse 3. Or, if he touches human uncleanness, that just sounds bad. Anything that would make him unclean, even though he is unaware of it, when he learns of it, he will be guilty. You know, that's amazing, right? Immediately when you find out on this one, on the human uncleanness, immediately when you find out, the cuffs go on. I just found out I was going to do something about it. Nope, guilty. This is not right. That's why most people play church and don't do the Bible. Join the club. But the Bible's going to be lived and is being lived. People just don't know it. So, I don't know, a Tampax pad gets put in the garbage can. Jonelle's dying, but it's in the Bible. It gets put in the garbage can. Here comes a new visitor. Here comes Ginger with her green plate. You know the recyclable ones? Ginger sticks it in the garbage can and heads back off to fellowship. Mila sees green plate in the garbage can, pulls it out, washes it up good, Mila hugs everyone goodnight, and everybody is unclean. Amen, brother. Everybody tries so hard. Everyone tries so hard to walk the straight and narrow. I do is listen to God. God will let me know what the deal is, and then I get to know. But everyone else is very careful so they don't have to hear from God. And you see how impossible it is. Those circumstances would condemn you. How am I going to avoid those circumstances if I'm not the boy in the bubble? I'm not. I have to be the boy in the bubble. We'll all have bubbleheads next week. Ginger come tonight? Keep an eye. I mean, my point is, the solid people in Christ are the people who God can talk to and explain things and show things, and who are up for being taught and up for being understanding and up for listening and up for learning and up for knowing something. And the hollow people are the people who are too busy keeping it all together. And when the time, you know, we see them all the time. When the testing comes, boom, down they go. Well, that was predictable. I hate that for you. And I lived like that. I shared with Doug. I mean, I lived like that. And actually, Doug, it was 9 years. It was really 7. Then there was a false start and then a retract. And it's like I spent the first 9 years of my life in Christ hollow. But no one in the history of this ministry ever had to endure hollow building like that, because Shao and I already paid the price of it, got it rooted out, and did not pass it on to anybody else. And after paying that price exactly, Daquila's like flying in under a year. And it's like, that's how it ought to be. That's what we read about. Yep. And it's like, and I hate for you to be built hollowly and live hollowly, because you're going down. Just a little flame. All of a sudden, you got a hole in you. Anyway, you cannot avoid these circumstances. Listen to God. Learn something. Verse 4. Now, this is pretty common. Or if a person thoughtlessly, careful now, or if a person thoughtlessly takes an oath to do anything, whether good or evil, in any matter one might carelessly swear about, even though he is unaware of it, in any case, when he learns of it, he will be guilty. Hey, brother, good to see you, too. You know, I'm not going to be able to make it to UCF on Monday, but I'm going to call you on Tuesday. There's some things I want to talk to you about, some things I want to point out to you. And I just got to be faithful with it, so I'm going to give a call on Tuesday. Monday comes and goes. Tuesday comes and goes. Wednesday comes and goes. No phone call. And you are in trouble. Because you said you were going to call someone on Tuesday, and you didn't. They're going through life, man, I'm lusting today. I'm sure you are. Boy, you know, I don't know if I believe the Bible anymore. I'm sure you're struggling with that. I don't think I want to go to ministry. Take a time out right there. Just do what I do, please. Say, hey, guys, I don't want to go to ministry. I'm struggling with believing the Bible, and in my heart, I don't want to believe it so I can sin. And I'm lusting and getting mad at people. Yeah. Something happened. Well, you don't do that, right? How you doing? I'm all right. You're not all right. You cannot tell someone, I'll call you Tuesday, blow it off. Well, I forgot. It doesn't matter. I was unaware. It doesn't matter. You are guilty. And we think, oh, that's no big deal. Your yes has to be yes. Your no, no. And if it's not, the scriptures are going to happen to you. And when they happen, it's just God letting you know this. And it's going to take God to build you. What did God say to Jeremiah? I mean, I will make you a bronze wall, a fortified city. What? Out of Jeremiah? You're going to make a fortified city? Uh-huh, absolutely. To stand against the whole land. Well, I want some of that. Well, you're going to have to be up for the program here then. Verse 5. When anyone is guilty in any of these ways, he must confess in what way he has sinned. People love to confess how they feel. Sorry, that doesn't really fulfill any scriptures. What must I do? He must confess in what way he has sinned. Something like this. These aren't mine, but these are classic examples. Some could be mine, some could be yours. Wear them if they fit and confess them tonight. You know, I saw Dave Foster shake the hand of my friend I brought to the ministry, and I thought he should have hugged her, and I wanted to point it out to him, but I didn't. I saw Julie coming in late, and I wanted to find out what the deal was. Of course, if you found out what the deal was, you'd know why. But I didn't, and then I got an attitude at her. She seemed a little standoffish. But I didn't talk about it. I go on and on and on and on. I had an attitude at Trent because it was cold, and he wasn't cold because he was ranting around, and he didn't know we were cold, and his inconsiderate little self, in typically way, he didn't let us go. But I didn't bring it up because I didn't want to rock the boat. I was mad at Jamie because as a newlywed, he looks all happy and everything. His program's going good. He's got a better life than me, and I don't like it, nor do I think he deserves it. Do some of that, please. Instead, what do we get? Well, I'm all right. I'm fine. When anyone is guilty in any of these ways, any of these ways, I mean, if it's so minute and so unaware and so difficult to discern, like Zay picking up the pig bone, giving it to me, and me hugging you, you're supposed to confess that. In the ways that you sinned. I guarantee you, if you don't, you'll always be hollow. And the greatest way that you get to know that is because your relationships in Christ are very shallow and very hollow. They can't get very deep because there's not much on the outside of you. Don't go too far, spring a leak. And your relationships are shallow and hollow, not rich, not deep, not the Bible. And it's because you don't confess your sins for real. And you're not real. Verse 6. This is what's amazing to me. Verse 6. And as a penalty for the sin he has committed, he must bring to the Lord a female lamb. That's a boy. Go get a girl. All right. Bring a female lamb or a goat from the flock as a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin. We read about the people in the Old Testament who look so longingly at the days of Christ. So talk to me about it, brother. Well, you need to go get a lamb, and you need to take it over to the priest, you need to chop it all up. Not a sin offering, not a guilt offering, not a free will offering, not a fellowship offering. And you need to go get with the priest, you need to cook all that up, and then that'll be good. And you see why they're like, you mean Jesus is going to do all this? Eventually? Even the menstrual cloth and the pig bone aren't going to matter? And now we have Christ, and we're like, I'm fine. Hollow little Easter bunny, chocolate bunny you are. You know those things, right? Just a solid bunny or a hollow bunny? We'll bite into it. Hollow, man. That'll be you. And we've got Christ where it's like we don't even have to do all the silly stuff. But when John D'Aquila sends out an email, the least you could do is say, hey, John D'Aquila, I have $0 and 0 cents to my name. don't I love the ministry? Should I stay home? Or you let me know if someone else is contributing enough that I could still come, because I love to come, but I got zero nickels, zero pennies, zero dimes to offer. I am pathetic, certainly, trying hard, but you let me know, brother, and I'll do what you tell me to do. How many of those did you get, brother? I wouldn't want to respond to him. I don't have anything proud to say. But by golly, when I get that job going, I'll be the man. You'll never be the man. Because God's going to have to build you, and he doesn't build people like that. Anyway, same when I say, hey, who's coming? Some respond, some don't. I even left one opportunity for people to say, hey, I don't know yet, work schedule, let you know last minute. Couldn't even get that kind of answer. Can you believe it, Aurelius? Couldn't even get that from some people, saying, look, I have no idea, up in the air, I'm sorry. Couldn't even get it. Our relatives are coming camping. Very scary. Very scary. All right. I mean, we have Christ. This is easy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have Christ. We don't have the old law. This is a piece of cake. And for us in Christ, because it's Christ and it's us and it's today, the judgment is now. God is quick. The scriptures are fulfilled. It ought to be up and running fast and furious. This is not difficult. It shouldn't take so long. People are in a hurry, but with the pace of God, they're not up for it. They're in a hurry to do a bunch of dumb stuff and find out about it later when they're open about the fact many, many weeks, months, or years after the sin. I'll tell you, y'all got more character than I do because I just couldn't do it. I just fall down here and die before I could do all that stuff. 1 Thessalonians. These are my kind of people. These are not the character people here. That's fine. Chosen by God. Don't mess with them. One of the greatest, easiest, I'm trying to find out where I'm at here. One of the easiest ways to find out whether you're solid or hollow is whether you can hang in through failure and whether failure will change your course, whether frustration will change your ideas. It looks like, you can read about it in the book of Acts, it certainly looks like Paul's efforts to preach to the Thessalonians was a major failure. Chapter 2, verse 1. You know, oh man, he's talking to people who made it to Christ. Those who didn't make it don't know, but those who did do. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. Well, it sure looked like it, Paul. Oh, yeah, it did. You read about it in the book of Acts. Look bad. And Paul saying, as a solid man of God, built up by God, declares, you know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. Solid people hang in. Hollow people melt down. It's how it is, how it'll always be. In the face of what looks like failure, the hollow people will quit. And if you got a little air bubble of hollowness in you, that thing will pop and you will still quit. Or question, or doubt, or wonder. And it's very difficult for me to have along with me someone ministering with me without the convictions I have, because I don't have time to do CPR every step of the way. It's like, you know, let me just do it on my own. It's all right. I'm not mad at you. But it's like, if you don't have the convictions I have to do this, please don't join me, because you'll be popping like Rice Krispies, and I don't have time for that. Nor is it necessary. Just go live the faith you have. So Paul, let it be known. Paul's still a solid man of God. Verse 2. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. Bring it on. I love that. We suffered, were insulted, dared, scary, dared to tell you the truth in the face of strong opposition. Who's up for that? You know what? Yeah, I know. Amen for you, brother. You know what? As of this hour, D'Aquila's going to kill you because you can't do anything about it. We have, like, no UCF ministry. Yeah, we do, brother! You messing with me? We have no UCF ministry. Why? Because I'm not there. That is pathetic. Why is that pathetic? Because I laid out in the car at UCF and an email to the entire ministry my convictions on the matter. And for a whole year, I set out for the brothers what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and not one of them has taken the mantle of saying this is not rocket science and doing it. Michael has tried here and there. Of course, nobody listens to Michael, and they feel like they can justify by not listening to Michael and then get out of it, and now their heart isn't even in it. And D'Aquila and I guess will go together one day. But I'm like, how is that? There hasn't even been suffering there. There have been minimal insults. Most of them are just jokes, right? The people who try to mess with Pat. Those people don't know that they're really messing with the wrong guy. So I wouldn't even say insult. Because it's like, you know, Pat has handled that pretty well. And I don't know why they try to pick on Pat. The Holy Spirit must prompt them to deal with Pat because that's their worst case scenario, I guess. There's been, like, we haven't had to dare anything there. No one's shooting us. Nobody's, you know, shooting arrows at us. There's no opposition really at all. What needs to be preached there is an elementary teaching that any of the brothers could preach. Elementary. You don't have to, like, well, let me see if I can study the Bible here and gear up and go to UCF. Elementary. These people don't know their left hand from their right. Anything will do. The public reading of Scripture will do. I showed you how to rendezvous, how to coordinate, how to organize, how to feed yourself, how to preach it, how to teach it, how to come, how to go, make your yes, yes, your no, no, how to put a field together, a team together, and make it happen, and nothing's happening. Well, there we go. And I'm like, how are you going to survive verse 2? And what I want to know from my brothers who used to go to UCF and do so no longer, because I've heard from none of you, I want to know the conviction you have not to be there. And if you have circumstances and frustrations and not convictions, you better get conviction about it and make it happen, or you won't be standing long. I don't say that because I'm mad at you. UCF's not going anywhere. I'm happy going back there in a year or maybe in August. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I'm not mad at you. I just want you to stand a while. And if you're falling, I want you to know why. Verse 3. This is a solid person here. This is solid. First, the question I would have before going to verse 3 is, man, endured suffering, insults, having to dare just to tell the truth, and strong opposition. How do you do it, Paul? How do you endure it? How do you stand up to the task? Verse 3. This is how. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives. Nor are we trying to trick you. How many, really, really honestly, how many of the ministry can say this is your life? How do you, did you stand it, Paul? How did you hang in? Our appeal does not spring from error. You know, we preach without apology, and we preach the truth. Hey, if I could change the truth and make it easier, I would. I've already been open about that. I don't like what I preach, but it is in here. Our appeal does not spring from error. The message I preach is not erroneous. It is true. And we've had countless challenges throughout ministry history. Al's been there for most of them. Boo Mama's seen them all from the beginning of time. Who have challenged what I teach and what I preach as if it were erroneous. And down they go. Good. Right? Oh, Mr. Know-it-all. Look, yeah, you know me. I'm no know-it-all, and I am worse than all of you combined. Amen. But I know what the Bible says, and I, unlike you, don't shrink back from it. And you want to challenge me like I'm in error, and I will tell you what Jesus says. Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? To live verse 3, you got to be a solid man of God. And this is like eventually where you get. But you've got to be someone whose message and whose appeal does not spring from an error. You've got to know the Bible, and you've got to have it confirmed by God, and He has to build you into something that doesn't let go of it. That's a rare find. Also, he says, the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives. Yeesh. Boy, the impure motive. That's a bad place to be. Well, I've got to do something spiritually. Why? I don't want to go to hell. You. I can't even begin to tell you how hopeless that is. Well, I want to do something. Why? Well, I feel like something's missing. Okay, so, well, I just want to, you know, not feel that way. The selfish, self-seeking, impure motive. Hollow people. Hollow people. Well, I'm going to do this. Why? Well, so my husband will think I'm a committed. There are countless impure motives. And the thing is, when flames come and fire comes and the tests come, you hollowed out people are exposed. And what do we find inside? Impure motives. I mean, that's just a dreadful place to be. An awful place to be. I mean, pride is an impure motive. Selfishness is an impure motive. It goes on and on. That's just so thick. I mean, it's just so bad. God's going to have to build you up. But you're not going to be able to stand. And the reason will be this. So when things are happening, the Bible's happening to you, say, you know, maybe, hey, I'm open. Maybe I got some impure motives in me. Anybody? Anybody? So, hey, you know, maybe I'm wrong about the Bible somewhere. Maybe I don't know what I think I know. Hey, the Bible says so. Come on aboard, you know. You know, maybe I don't know what I think I know. You think? Anybody? Help, 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 help. I got one of these problems. I've got something going on. I got either an error, a biblical error. I'm off somewhere. I've got impure motives or something, or both. Or I'm trying to trick you. Huh? Paul says, nor are we trying to trick you. Michael pointed out this week. He said to me, honestly, a brief moment of honesty from Michael, hey, I got to take what I can get. You get that faucet on and just flow, but amen. He said, you know, brother, I feel like you treat me like I've done something wrong. He's not the only one to feel. I know Richard's felt that way. And I told him what I tell everybody. I'm like, look, I am close to those who are close to God. What do you want me to do? And if you're not feeling close to me, look, I'm in the light, and I have a relationship with God that's biblical and really counts. If you're not in the light, I imagine what fellowship does light have with darkness, and what harmony is there between Christ and Belial or your false god that you follow? None. And so I'm sure you feel like that. But I'm not trying to trick you. Well, I'm going to give you the cold shoulder. That'll trick you into doing the Bible. Oh, please. Aurelius, just land on me if I start acting like that until I repent. I mean, if I'm like, huh, so-and-so's in sin, maybe I'll try the old cold shoulder. Please, just land on me and don't let me go. I mean, Paul was accused of that. Paul, are you saying that because you're really trying to get me mad so I will follow you? Or are you saying it so you'll get me to quit and then prove you're right when I quit? And Paul's like, oh, I'm just preaching the word, man. I'm not trying to trick you. Can you imagine? It's like, who was that for? Why doesn't he just take me aside and tell me personally? It's like, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm not trying to try a bunch of games and tricks on you to get you to work a certain way. God will goad you from heaven with the spear. Amen. I don't do that. I have no impure motive, and you shouldn't either. And you can't play tricks and games and stuff with your spouses, your kids, or anything else. Please, please, please. Look, the solid person is not an error, has pure motives, does not use trickery. I often tell people, and I'll tell Doug all the time, I'm like, look, I flatter no one, I have no favorites. That's a good start. You know what Doug's response was? Man, I've got so much I've got to say to people. Yeah, brother, join me in saying to people what God has given you to say to people and stop flattering them, playing favorites, and shrinking back. I want you to be solid so you don't go anywhere. So you're good. And you can taste the rest of the Bible that is written that is just so awesome. This hollowness, I remember for 9 years, I was a spiritual question mark. I could go at any moment. How's he doing now? Oh, he's feeling all right, like that counts. Right, honey? I was like, oh, man. From 90 to 99. Spiritual question mark. Pat comes out of the water. We're rolling, baby. Let's go. We got someone who believes this thing. I don't know where he came from, but he believes it, and where we go. And we haven't looked back since. That is awesome. But it's like, amen, we're able to pay those 9 years, not pass them on to Pat or any of you. You have every opportunity to be solid. Solid. You know, I see Jamie, and I just see him as solid. I mean, he'll confess anything. He's not going anywhere. Yeah, he's got some things to learn and stuff. Yeah, that email thing, I'm sure, hits him and others. You know, but he'll repent of that quickly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word and just the opportunity to really stand and stand forever. It's really cool, Father, that... You know, in half a verse, really, you even give us a solution to faltering and falling and struggling and crashing and burning, and you give us the whole solution in half a verse without any money. No seminar, without a four-year degree. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for this incredible day. We pray for the fellowship to come. Father, I pray it'll be lively. I pray the brothers particularly, the sisters as well, but the brothers particularly will just throw themselves on the operating table. Say, look, I got problems. Any ideas? Rather than the typical brother move of coming out and pretending to think they're laying out their problems, which aren't their problems, and think that they're being in the light with it. We need to be in the light with the curses from you. We need to be in the light with what you've given us over to, handed us to. And in many ways, God, we're just unaware of it. That's all right. It's in the Bible. I pray so much, Father, that our heart will be, look, I don't know what happened. I'm unaware. I'm sorry. I didn't know Zay picked that thing up. I pray, Father, our heart will be humble and we're unaware. And then we can really be your disciples and hold to the truth that the Bible reveals, and we just will go undefeated. That's always led in triumphal procession. That's undefeated. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.